Welcome, Professor of Botanical, so Leopoldo García Sancho from the UCM, so the University Complutense of Madrid in Spain.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with
you. Yeah, thank you. You have a very interesting research on botanical research in Antarctica, but as well, somehow this was linked to the space research. Mm-hmm. So how was your story to lead this botanical research in Antarctica with the Antarctic lichens and mosses? I think you have like 12 expeditions there.
Well, actually 17. Well, my first contact with the Antarctic was during my postdoc stay in the Polar Research Institute in Kiel, in Germany, under the supervision or the direction of Professor Kappen. During this stay, we designed the first scientific expedition to the brand new Spanish Antarctic Station on Livingston Island. That was the very first time for an Antarctic research expedition to this station, and that was in the year 1989. As they say, it was love at first sight. I enjoyed very much this experience, and I produced several expeditions in the next year to Livingston Island. And on the year 2000, I met Professor Alan Green from Antarctica, New Zealand. That was on this time the leader of the biology studies in Antarctica, New Zealand. And he invited me to join them in an expedition to the Dry Valleys in continental Antarctica and along the Transantarctic Mountains. And that was the beginning of my experience in the Transantarctic Mountains. So that was very important for me because this is the most extreme environment. And the connection between lichens and the space comes from this experience. Because you know, the Dry Valleys is a very inhospitable place, maybe the most inhospitable place on Earth, or one of the most. And even that, lichens survive. And this area, the Dry Valleys in continental Antarctica, has been proposed as Mars analog. So that the idea of producing experiments with lichens from this area was quite natural, I would say. Because that was, before that, that was already a connection between this very extreme area and the space research.
Yeah, because you, in this sense, you had the first Spanish exobiology experiment supported from ESA, so the European Space Agency, in 2005. So that's the part you mentioned now. It's like the continental dry land from Antarctica is like an analog experiment to Mars, to see how life could be there developed.
Yeah, that was the idea. Actually, that was the first experiment in the world with lichens. We proposed for the first time to use these symbiotes. Mm-hmm. Lichens is a symbiosis between fungi and algae. So it's a complex organism. And we proposed that for the first time as an astrobiology experiment. It was accepted by the European Space Agency. And we launched the experiment, and that was a success because lichens survived without any apparent damage after 2 weeks of exposure to the most extreme conditions in the outer space. So that was somehow unexpected because other organisms showed some kind of damages, mainly because the massive UV radiation. But lichens, especially lichens from the continental Antarctica, are very well prepared or adapted to this massive radiation that they receive during the Antarctic summer. So they survive. That was the starting point of a new line of research in the space and many experiments that are carried out in different institutes of the world. And at present, there are experiments in the International Space Station. So that was the beginning of a new line of research. And The beginning of this was here in Spain, in a cooperation between my team, my university at the INTA, the Spanish Institute for Space.
For me, this is very important because sometimes some people, they can ask why investment in space research is important. And for me, this case is a very good case to say, okay, we invest on how to grow plants or plants can resist in a space when you have like this type of ultraviolet radiation, but as well the UV, but as well you have this dry and very difficult environments to grow plants or to plants to survive. And then could be the other way around. No, how all this research we are doing for space and on space could help how we manage agriculture, for instance, when we have enough space land in the planet Earth. No, it's the other way around. And this is the multidirectional research, very curious on space. Like it brings us as well results like we never expected to have, or technologies like they were not in our minds, like you said, look, if something is unexpected. Mm-hmm. And as well, if we further the research, it's back to us in a very beneficial way, somehow, in planet Earth.
Well, yes, you are obviously speaking of applied science. And that is, I have to confess and to admit that this is not our focus or main focus in our activity, but you are absolutely right. We can identify the adaptation strategy of these organisms to use that for other purposes. For instance, the genes that are involved in this resistance or the substances that screen the UV radiation and protect lichens or protect the inside of the lichens from this radiation. And we can use these screen substances to other purposes. So there are many possibilities to use these evidences of high resistance to other purposes in other fields of science, applied science, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why it's very important, the fundamental research. So it's to let it go, you know, like whoever wants to research. Because sometimes, you know, there are as well these questions on how to distribute funding.
Yes, I know.
So there is another incredible research you are doing is the use of advanced gas exchange and fluorescent systems for measuring photosynthesis. So the question is, what does it mean? Going back to Leopold, very naive.
Yes. Here. Well, that is not easy to answer these questions because they are quite technical, but I will try to explain to you. Gas exchange is very easy to understand because it's just the CO2 uptake or absorption. So this is quite easy to understand it and to measure. But for gas exchange experiments, you usually have to remove the samples and to introduce them inside the cuvette to have a good signal and to be able to measure the CO2 exchange. But with fluorescence, you are using the fluorescence of chlorophyll, the chlorophyll fluorescence, the pigment, the photosynthetic pigment fluorescence, that react to a light that you are producing, the sample, and the sample reacts with a fluorescent signal that you can receive and measure. So that means it's a fast, simple, and not invasive method. With this method, you don't disturb the sample at all. You only produce light pulse, anything else, and you receive the signal from the plant. So it's really a very important improvement, especially for measurements under natural conditions. So you can go to the field with your system and you can take a very good measurement of photosynthetic activity without disturbing the samples, without disturbing the natural conditions. So in a very, I would say, very elegant way. And now it's a methodology that is used everywhere in the world, and they are improving that continuously, and is really a very nice way. The best is to compare these measurements or to combine these measurements with gas exchange measurements. And so you have the whole process of photosynthesis in your hands. But if you go to the field and you want to work under natural conditions, the fluorescence method is the best.
If you want to be part of the European space innovation ecosystem in a digital format, go to our website to read more information about how to join. www.eurospacehub.com.